This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Why slam poetry?
It was kind of an accident, you know. I've been writing poetry ever since I was a small kid, but my sophomore year of college, somebody who, now he's my good friend, at the time I didn't know who he was, his name is Dylan Garrity, he showed up to a meeting of my literary magazine with a spoken word piece he wanted to workshop. He stood up and he did this poem, and it was terrible, you know, it was so bad. it was a genuinely awful poem, but like, he really meant it, you know?
He's
one of my best friends now. I mean, I'll tell him that to his face. But like, you know, we were all bad back then. It seemed like a really cool way to do poetry, and like a really immediate and fun way to sort of get into the art form. Dylan took me to some poetry slams around Minneapolis, St. Paul, where we lived, and then we started a slam at our college, and now it's 10 years later, and it's my full time job. You know,
it's kind of interesting that you've grown up around it. You'd think that it's sort of something that you'd be introduced to maybe later in life, but you've sort of always had this interest in poetry and writing.
I mean, I'm not really sure. You know, like, even when I was a little kid, I always liked poems. Like, I wrote my first poem when I was like 8. My mom read me like poems as like sort of as bedtime stories when I was a little kid. Like, she read me, I'm such a pretentious kid, she read me like Shakespeare sonnets and stuff, but apparently I love it. So, I've always been into poetry. So I don't know, man. I always wonder about that. Like, maybe if I'd had a more like musically inclined family, like maybe I'd be playing guitar or something. But I'm also bad at music. Like, I don't really know. It's such an interesting question. Like, I have a hard time imagining being in any other art form when I've done for pretty much my whole life. But I'm certain it could have happened. You know.
Neil, talk us through why you've concentrated so much on mental health issues in your work.
Sure. I mean, it's just kind of what I'm going through, you know. I think the community that I came up in, the poetry community in Minnesota, is very, very focused on like personal narrative and sort of openness and honesty and confessionalism. It was just like the people that I was learning from and that I was working with all the time, like, everybody was just out there telling their stories, you know, and my story was so often centered around having OCD and bipolar disorder and extreme anxiety and depression and all this stuff, right? It was just the thing that I had to talk about and that I was encouraged to talk about, and it turned out I was good at talking about it. So, you know, I've kept doing it. It's always been really cathartic and therapeutic for me, and I think that at least people have told me that it helps them out too. So I keep doing it, man.
Neil, I'm interested. I know it's hard to measure sort of a sense of release, but what, in terms of relief and what you feel once you get things off your chest, what's the difference between writing and performing? Is there a bigger sense of relief after you've performed?
I would say it's just different, you know. Like, I think that writing, there's something like, it's really useful for me because it allows me to, like, I'm not the kind of person who just writes one draft and then it's like perfect and it's done. You know, my first drafts are like 2 good lines and then mostly garbage. For me, writing a poem involves going over it, thinking about the subject over and over and over, and really focusing really hard on it. So that for me is like, that process allows me to it allows me to like really get into whatever my emotional or mental issue that I'm trying to write about is and really think about it super hard. And then performing it, that's more of a desensitization thing. You know, like the first maybe 5 or 10 times I perform a poem, it's really intense and it's hard, and I feel this like immense sense of relief. And then after I do it enough, it's kind of like, so I took this thing that was huge and scary for so long. And because I like can talk about it in front of strangers over and over, suddenly it gets less scary and it gets smaller every time I talk about it. Two different forms of therapy. They're both like pretty important though.
I wanted to ask you about that specifically because, you know, there's still a culture surrounding mental health issues that is very much don't talk about it, keep it under wraps, you know.
Sure.
But here you are, you're talking to large crowds about it. Did you ever feel the point where you kind of went, oh, this is too much information, or this is embarrassing putting this through, or anything like that?
Yeah, every day.
Well, how do you get through that then?
I'll just check in with, like, I mean, if it's at a show and I'm feeling like, oh, this is too much, I just like look at people's faces and I'm like, oh, and it's clear that they're into it and that like people are ready to follow it. So I just keep doing it, or like, you know, or I can just like get on social media and like my mentions on Twitter or something, and people are like, you know, thank Neil so much for like sharing a story. It's really helpful. And I'm like, cool, great, I'll keep doing it, you know? So I think for me, I've got that feedback mechanism where like every time I doubt it, I can just literally look at something that encourages me to keep doing it, you know? Which is good for me because like I grew up in a, you know, I wouldn't say like a household that necessarily like repressed emotions or whatever. We were still pretty, you know, still pretty waspy Texans, so we just like didn't talk too much about stuff. So I really had to learn how to be open and share things. So it's nice to me that I can get pretty constant reminders of how important it is to like be open and genuine with people, you know.
I guess as well, it's that thing of if I say this, will I still be okay when it's over? I feel like probably, I know that they're different art forms, but stand-up comedy and I guess slam poetry has that same sort of thing where you're going to go up on stage and say things that might offend or might embarrass yourself or embarrass the audience, but when it's over, you're still okay and you may even feel better.
Yeah, exactly. And I, you know, at this point, I always say to myself, like, my biggest check is, like, am I telling my story accurately? Am I being as genuine and honest as I possibly can be? And if yes, like, then I think that if somebody gets upset by me just like accurately representing events, like, then I kind of don't care, you know? Like, if you get mad at me to say like, this is my experience of OCD, this is what it's like, and you like don't like that for some reason, I kind of like just leave. That's fine. Like, you don't, not every art, not every piece of art is meant for everybody. So yeah, I think for me, it's been really helpful to sort of divorce my ego from the reception of any particular piece by any one person. But yeah, it's so scary. You know, I'm always like, what if they hate me? That's never happened. So
I guess it's that thing as well, is that just because you're talking about mental health, it doesn't mean that you're the spokesperson for mental health. And so, and people can say like, oh, he said the wrong thing about this. But it's your experience with what you're going through.
Right. Yeah, and I'm always trying to be very clear about that.
I don't know if I don't have the media release with me, so I don't know if I read this or I dreamt this, but I think I think that one of your biggest dreams in life is to come to Australia and hug a wombat. Is that true?
Oh, for sure. No, yep. It's going to happen.
Someone make that happen.
I got a whole plan, dude. Oh, yeah. No, I mean, literally, like, immediately after I posted the announcement on Facebook, somebody emailed me and they were like, hey, I work at a small zoo outside of Brisbane. I work at a small zoo outside of Brisbane. Like, when are you going to be here? Like, I'm a huge fan. Do you want to come hug a wombat? Here's some pictures of wombat.
Oh.
Well,
you can go visit that guy. So, yeah.
Yeah, so it's going down. Wombats have been one of my favorite animals since I was a small child, and it's going to happen. I'm going to make a wombat love me. So, yeah.
Who knows what kind of emotions that could unlock? You could have poetry written for years and years after that moment.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's going to be, I'm going to be, like, sobbing. It's basically every show is just going to be me ugly crying about how I touched a wombat. So, I hope. $12 ready for some bad shows.
Well, Neil, we're super excited for you to come to Australia, and we hope you get that chance. Well, we know you will.
Yeah, and please send us a picture.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Every social media. I'm going to post it literally every day because it's going to be the crowning achievement of my life.
We can't wait.
This is The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.